more if I do this or do that. And the devil preys upon this weakness that we have for self-salvation. I mean, the most obvious example of this in the Bible are the scribes and the teachers of the law, those Pharisees. How caught up they were in following the minutiae of the laws that they'd created, that they missed the Son of God right in front of them, walking amongst them, debating with them. So these are just a couple of examples of tactics that the devil uses against us. We need to do some self-examination as well. We shouldn't turn too much in ourselves, as we saw, but we should have a look to see, you know, what are those biggest weaknesses that we have? What are those things that the devil often preys on in my life? We need to know our enemies, but we also need to know ourselves then as well. What is the thing that I struggle with most? But how then do we deal with this? Because we are in a battle, but we're not helpless in this battle. How do we fight? How do we arm ourselves? Well, now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. It will be on the screen, but if you want to follow in a Bible, you can. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul says several things here about how we arm ourselves. The first thing he says is that we should be strong in the Lord. It's very tempting to look at the devil as the cultural devil, the one that you see in cartoons. This little red guy who runs around with a pointy stick. But we need to realize that even as Christians, if we try to face the devil on our own, then every single time we will lose, every single time we will fail. Because he's far more powerful than any of us are. We must have utter dependence on Christ if we seek to win any battle. Stanley Gale puts it quite poetically like this. In spiritual warfare, our victory is in Christ, our refuge and strength are in Christ, our confidence in Christ, our hope is in Christ. The better we learn to abide in Christ, the more capable and vigorous we will be for the battle as we live in and live out his victory. The position for spiritual warfare is standing in Christ, and the posture from that position boasts of weakness. Our weakness that learns off and leans on Christ's victory, Christ's strength. The cross itself is illustrative of God's plan in battle, in that it represents our vicarious victory in Christ, but also points to the fundamental principles that spiritual warfare is conducted in God's wisdom, and that paradoxically, our strength is found in denying ourselves and following Christ. Arnold has simplified it a little bit for us when he says, part of spiritual warfare is the recognition that you're not able in your own strength. You need God to hold you by the hand and to fight on your behalf. Without having a posture that says, I need you, Jesus, we will succumb to temptation. Charles Hodge, a 19th century theologian, writes this. He who rushes into this conflict without thinking of Christ, without putting his trust in him, and without continually looking to him for strength, and regarding himself as a member of his body, deriving all life and vigor from him, is demented. When we are weak, then we are strong. When most empty of self, we are most full of God. So we must be strong in the Lord. Secondly, Paul says in our passage four times that we need to stand. Now, when we think about standing, I'm standing right now. It's not a very active thing to stand, is it? It's quite passive. But that's not what Paul means in this passage. Again, Gail sums it up quite beautifully for us. It is to stand like an oak against the winds of Satan's lies that would sway us, against the floods of his temptations that would sweep us away, and against the leeches of his accusations that would deprive us of grace. To stand, it's like a rock being a rock at the seashore being hit by huge waves over and over and over again, but it stands unmoved, unaffected. So how do we stand? Well, we put on the whole armour of God. Now, much has been made of this armour metaphor that Paul uses here. People have worked very hard at trying to think why each thing has to cover a particular part of the body. I think that if we major too much on this, we kind of miss the point of the passage. The overall point that Paul makes here is that these things that he says to put on, we must dwell on them. We must dwell on truth. We must dwell on our righteousness in Christ. We must spread the gospel. We must cultivate our faith. We must know our salvation. It's these things that will help us to be protected against the devil's lies. They are our armour for the fight. But how do we do this? Well, where do we find truth? How do we know our righteousness? How do we know the gospel? How do we know what to have faith in? How do we know our past, present, and future salvation? Well, we know it all because the Spirit has taught it to us through the Word of God. You see, the Bible is incredibly important to defending ourselves against the devil. Because if we know the promises of God, if we know that our identity is in Christ, if we know what our God is like, then it is much easier to stand. So there's a challenge to each of us here that we need to spend more time thinking and dwelling on the truths of Scripture, of who we are in Christ and what He's done for us and what awaits us in the future. But as well as reading about this, I think that singing is a great way of reminding yourselves of these truths. This is true of the great hymns of the faith. A lot of them are just bits of theology that have just been compacted for us to be able to remember. But it is true, I think, of some new worship songs as well. And music has this incredible ability to speak not just to our minds, but to our hearts as well. Singing God's truth about your salvation, about your righteousness, about your Saviour will help you put your armour on. And it's funny because on Monday this week I received a new album by a Christian band from Northern Ireland called Wren Collective. And two of the songs on that CD have really stood out to me as I've been preparing this. So I thought we might listen to one and maybe we can put another one on after we finished. So Phil, if you want to put track 4 on for us as well, and you'll see that it really speaks into this topic that we've been considering.
Strength is gone. You're the one who calls me on. You are the light. You are the fight that's in my soul. Oh, your resurrection power burns like fire in my heart. When water dries, I lift my eyes up to your throne.
Our Lord, our good, we are.
so it just repeats the chorus again. But I think, do you not, when you listen to those words, does it not just kind of stir your heart again, warm it again, to know that we have the victory in Christ, and that when we walk according to the Spirit, we can't fail when we do that. So, the next thing, and I promise there's two more, and then we are done. The next thing, the sword of the Spirit. Not only is the Word of God a source of defense against the devil, it's also an attacking weapon. And we see this most clearly in the Bible when Jesus is being tempted by the devil. Three times Jesus counters the devil's lies with quotations from the words of God. So when the devil does attack us, when we do feel that we are being tempted, are we ready to call upon those truths of the Bible and say defiantly, these things that you say to me are not true? But there is more to wielding the sword of the Spirit than fighting off his lies. And I think that this hymn, this second verse of O Church Arise, gets it bang on when it says, our call to war, to love the captive soul, but to rage against the captor, and with the sword that makes the wounded whole, we will fight with faith and valor. To wield the sword is to go forth into enemy territory, into the world, and to speak God's truth, to share the gospel, to preach Christ crucified. The act of evangelism is not just defensive on our own hearts, but offensive against the devil. And the last thing that I want us to consider is actually the most important, and that is prayer. Listen to what three of our authors have said about prayer. Prayer is the essence of spiritual warfare and the most important means by which believers are strengthened by God. Borgman and Venturer, prayer is not the seventh piece of the armour, but the means by which each piece is effectively employed. Once we put the armour on with prayer, it continues to be a fundamental weapon in our warfare, as we, in reliance on the Spirit, constantly call to our heavenly headquarters for help, both for ourselves and our fellow soldiers. Prayer is so crucial. Look again at verse 18 of Ephesians 6. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints and also for me. Three times there, Paul uses this word, all. He is emphasizing, he is convinced of the supreme importance of prayer to the Christian. We must pray in our battle. And we must pray not just for ourselves, but also for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because doing so is saying, what I said earlier, it's saying, Jesus, I need you. I need you to help me. I need you to hold me by the hand and lead me into battle. It moves us away from ourselves towards Christ. So we simply just must pray. So some conclusions then. So firstly, Christian warfare is a reality, and whether you realize it or not, you are a soldier and you are at war. The war has already been won, but until Christ returns, there are still battles to fight. Your enemy is the devil and his demons, the flesh and the world. Your enemy uses a variety of tactics. He's often subtle. Be alert to the ones that he uses on you. Your enemy is much more powerful than you are in your own strength, but in Christ's strength, we have all we need for victory. Put your armour on with prayer through the truth of his word and its impact on your life. Sing and read these truths. Pray, pray, and pray some more. So I'm going to pray, but what I want us to do is to take away this thought that we said a couple of times. What tactics does the devil use on you? What passages of scripture, what truths about God speak directly to his life? So don't just be passive, but actually search the Bible to find ways of countering this. And also bring these things before God in prayer and keep doing it. So let's just pray and then just take this thought away with you, I think. Maybe do this week. Think about ways that you can counter the devil's lies. So let's pray. Our Father, we recognize that we are in a battle. We recognize, Lord, that if we were to stand on our own strength, that we would fall every single time, that we haven't got a hope if we look to ourselves. But we thank you that wonderfully, gloriously, Lord, that when we look to you, we have everything that we need. We thank you that you have already won the victory for us, that there is a day coming, Lord, when temptation will be no more, where sin will be no more, where the consequences of sin will be no more. We thank you, though, that you don't leave us just to get on with life between these 2 days, but that by your Spirit, Lord, you have given us a helper who will lead us into all truth, will help us to understand what your word means. And we thank you that when we walk according to him, we are on safe ground in our battle. The devil cannot touch us when we walk according to the Spirit. Lord, I pray for anyone here who is racked with guilt about sin that they've committed in their life. I pray that they would know freedom from that guilt, because your death on the cross was enough to deal with any sin. We pray for any of us who are going through difficult times at the moment, life-changing times, we pray that we would look to you and know you as the God that your word declares, the God of faithfulness, the God who is all comfort. Father, we pray for help to discern what it is about ourselves, Lord, that the devil uses to tempt us, to move us away from you. And we pray that you would help us to actively search out how we can respond to that temptation. Help us to practically run from him and towards you. We pray that you would help us to put our armour on daily, that you would give us a passion, a desire, Lord, to spend time in prayer, to spend time in your word, really dwelling in it richly, understanding what it means. Father, you're such an amazing God, and we praise you, we worship you this evening. We pray for our weeks this week. We pray that whatever comes across our path this week, Lord, that you will use all things to grow us more into your likeness. And we pray this, that your name might be glorified in and through us. Amen. So that is the end of our time together. I'm going to ask Phil just to play the other song, but you can talk over it. You don't need to listen to it if you don't want to. And I think there's tea and coffee, I think. Is that right? Maybe not. There might not be. But there is. Okay, super. So, yeah, thank you for coming, and hope you feel a bit more informed about spiritual warfare.
Wrestling in my dump, In my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will.